Imagine a math problem, right? So complex that it would take a traditional computer longer than the literal age of the universe to solve.
Right.
But now imagine a new kind of machine that can solve that same problem in just like a few seconds. And by doing that, instantly unlocking basically every Bitcoin wallet on Earth.
Which is terrifying.
It really is. And I mean, that isn't some sci-fi movie pitch. That is the actual ticking clock of Shor's algorithm. So welcome to the deep dive. You sent us a massive stack of sources today, specifically looking at the Tech Ignite intelligence dossier for Sunday, August 30, 2026.
A lot to cover today.
For sure. And going through your notes, there was this one like massive paradox that just immediately jumped out at us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we are looking at a landscape that is just entirely defined by this incredible friction.
Yeah.
We're building these towering, exponentially powerful digital skyscrapers, you know, machines that are generating entirely new realities on the fly. But at the same time, we are frequently building them on these fault lines of just basic human logic that we, frankly, barely understand.
Okay, let's unpack this, because we really have to start with the silicon that is generating the gravity for, well, everything else in your dossier. NVIDIA.
Right, NVIDIA.
Their Q2 fiscal 2027 financial disclosures just dropped. And, I mean, the numbers, they don't even look real at this point. We're looking at a net revenue of $96.2 billion.
In a single quarter.
In one single quarter. It's insane.
Yeah, it's 106% year-over-year expansion. But the raw number kind of, you know, hides the real story here.
What do you mean?
Well, out of that $96.2 billion, $89 billion was generated entirely by their data center and generative AI compute division.
Wow.
Right? That one division now makes up 92.5% of their total corporate revenues.
That's
the gaming graphics cards that actually built the company are basically a rounding error now.
That is wild to think about. The report mentions that hyperscalers are aggressively expanding what they call, quote, autonomous agentic clusters.
Yeah.
And I want to pause there because that sounds like, I don't know, intense corporate jargon.
Mm-hmm.
What does an autonomous agentic cluster actually look like inside a data center? Are we just talking about like really fast chatbots?
Oh, no. We have moved far, far beyond chatbots. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the enterprise AI supercycle has actually reached a point of sustainable productive acceleration.
Okay, so what is an agentic cluster then?
It's essentially a hive of AI models that don't sit around waiting for a human prompt.
Right.
You give the system a really high level goal, right? Say, optimize the logistics for our European supply chain.
Which is a huge task.
Exactly. And the cluster breaks that down autonomously into thousands of subtasks. It spins up specialized AI agents to write code, to query databases, negotiate vendor contracts, even audit the results.
And they're all just talking to each other.
All talking to each other totally autonomously.
Man, to pull that off simultaneously across thousands of companies, the hardware requirements must just be astronomical.
Oh, absolutely.
Because NVIDIA is officially forecasting a 70% revenue growth for fiscal 2028. And they're pinning that huge jump entirely on the commercial rollout of their next generation Vera Rubin platform.
Right, which is scheduled for 2027. And the Vera Rubin architecture is fascinating because it's really tackling the physical limits of computing.
How so?
Well, it features this HBM4 memory architecture and like multi-terabyte interconnect.
Wait, slow down on the memory part. High bandwidth memory, HBM4. Why is memory the big bottleneck here rather than the processor itself?
Okay, so think of it like a massive factory. The processor is your assembly line, right? Working at just lightning speed.
Okay, I'll fall.
But if the warehouse holding all your parts, which is the memory, is located a mile down a dirt road, your assembly line is going to sit idle waiting for delivery.
Right. The speed of the line doesn't matter if there's no parts.
Exactly. So HBM4 basically stacks the warehouse directly on top of the assembly line. It dramatically shortens the actual physical distance the data has to travel.
Which lets these AI models process terabytes of data without starving the processors.
Precisely.
But building that massive factory, that requires unprecedented energy. The dossier outlines this initiative, mobilizing over $500 billion in private institutional capital.
Yeah, that's a massive capital mobilization.
Just to construct gigawatt-scale AI computing infrastructure worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, a gigawatt is roughly the power capacity of a large nuclear reactor.
Right.
It says basically like we are deciding to build an entirely new planetary electrical grid just overnight. The physical thermodynamic scale required to power these clusters is just mind-bending.
It really is. The physical infrastructure is scaling up aggressively just to match the mathematical complexity we're pushing.
Right.
But as we pour hundreds of billions of dollars into basically brute forcing this AI revolution, there's an entirely different type of computing that's quietly threatening to break the very foundations of how we secure our digital assets today.
Yeah, you're talking about the quantum computing revolution. Mm-hmm. And the Tech at Night dossier has a really massive update on this front.
It does.
So researchers at Starkware, specifically a team engineered by senior researcher Avihu Levy, have successfully mined the first quantum resilient Bitcoin transaction on the public mainnet.
Which is just a landmark cryptographic achievement. I mean, to really grasp the magnitude of this, you have to look at how Bitcoin is currently secured.
Okay, let's break that down.
So most Bitcoin addresses use the elliptic curve digital signature algorithm, or ECDSA.
Right. Standard crypto stuff.
Exactly. And it relies on these complex algebraic discrete logarithm problems. To a classical computer, deriving your private key from your public key using this math is virtually impossible.
It would take forever.
Right.
But to a future, you know, fault-tolerant quantum computer running Shor's algorithm, it's child's play.
Yes.
I have to admit some confusion here, though. Why does Shor's algorithm shred this specific type of math so easily?
So elliptic curve cryptography relies on this hidden, repeating algebraic structure. A classical computer has to just blindly guess and check millions and millions of times to find that structure. But a quantum computer, because it leverages superposition, essentially evaluates all the possibilities all at once.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, Shor's algorithm is specifically designed to find that underlying period, the repeating pattern in that algebraic structure, almost instantly. And once it finds the pattern...
It is your private key.
Exactly.
But here's where it gets really interesting. If quantum computers can just shatter that underlying structure, why is Starkware's solution, this quantum-safe Bitcoin or QSB protocol, why is it just wrapping existing scripts in Stark proofs?
Whoa.
I mean, they aren't ripping out the base code. Is it like putting a titanium vault around an old, flimsy wooden door?
Not quite a vault, no. It's actually more like a language barrier.
Any mean?
The quantum computer is looking for the structural weaknesses in the wood, right? Those algebraic curves we just talked about.
Right, the repeating patterns.
Exactly. So Starkware's QSB protocol encapsulates the digital signatures within hash-based zero-knowledge Stark proofs.
Hash functions, like SHA-256.
Correct. Cryptographic hash functions don't have that underlying algebraic structure that Shor's algorithm exploits.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they act like a translator that speaks in a completely randomized, collision-resistant language that the quantum computer just cannot parse.
So you wrap the standard Bitcoin unspent outputs in this post-quantum mathematical armor, and suddenly the quantum brute force decryption becomes, well, computationally impossible.
Exactly. And honestly, the true genius here is the deployment itself.
Right, because changing Bitcoin is famously difficult.
Oh, completely. Starkware realized that trying to change Bitcoin's base consensus rules to fix the elliptic curve problem would just be a total political nightmare.
Yeah, forcing a soft fork or a hard fork requires miner voting, network-wide consensus, and it almost always just fractures the community.
Right. But Avihu Levy's team figured out how to implement these quantum resilient spending scripts within the existing Bitcoin script opcodes.
So there's zero consensus friction. You just apply the shield today.
Basically, yeah. They proved that these foundational networks don't need some radical architectural upheaval to survive the quantum era.
That's huge.
It is, but the irony of this breakthrough is really hard to ignore.
What do you mean?
Well, we have researchers successfully defending against the theoretical supercomputers of tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
While the decentralized networks of today are literally burning down right now because of basic human logic flaws.
Oh, right. Yeah, it is a painful pivot, but we definitely have to look at the devastating zero-day vulnerability in the Cosmos EVM module.
We do.
This was tracked under advisory GHSA 7G4WCG882CQ2. And between August 20th and August 25th, this flaw was actively weaponized.
Actively exploited in the wild.
Yeah, draining millions in liquidity across six independent blockchain networks.
It was bad. And the Cosmos EVM module is essentially this standardized compatibility layer.
Right, it connects things.
Yeah, it allows different application-specific blockchains within the Cosmos ecosystem to natively execute Ethereum virtual machine smart contracts. It is basically the connective tissue for decentralized finance in that whole ecosystem.
And that connective tissue had a severe oversight in versions prior to 0.6.2. The dossier actually calls it a, quote, balance handling state inconsistency.
Right.
Can you break down what that actually means in practice? Like, how does a state inconsistency just drain a liquidity pool?
So think of it like a flawed double-entry bookkeeping system at a bank. When smart contracts interact, they're constantly debiting and crediting tokens back and forth.
Okay, standard ledger stuff.
Right. If I send you a token, the system has to deduct one from my account state and add one to yours. But this vulnerability was a computational flaw where the execution simply failed to reconcile those two actions under specific conditions.
Wait, so the attacker initiates a transfer, the system credits their new account, but it just fails to deduct the funds from their original account.
Exactly. The logic just dropped the deduction entirely.
Oh.
Attackers exploited this inconsistency to synthesize unbacked token balances literally out of thin air.
So they minted these illicit balances and then immediately swapped them for real assets in these decentralized liquidity pools.
Yes. Draining them before emergency node upgrades could even be coordinated across the networks.
And this wasn't just a quiet exploit either. This sparked an intense, deeply philosophical industry debate.
Very intense, yeah.
Because, according to the Hacker News, developers at Cosmos Labs were actually aware that every blockchain running this EVM module was vulnerable prior to the coordinated attacks.
They knew, but they couldn't just stop the network.
Right, which brings up the question, should developers have a universal kill switch for interconnected multi-chain ecosystems?
Yeah.
Or does that fundamentally violate the whole point of decentralization?
It's the big question. It forces Web3 to confront its ultimate ideological clash, right? A universal kill switch means you have a central authority that can pause the network at will.
Which completely defeats the purpose of trustless infrastructure.
Exactly. But without one, you are completely at the mercy of hundreds of independent node operators updating their software fast enough to actually beat the attackers.
Oh, it didn't happen here.
Right. And the blockchain security directorate at the Hacker News took a very firm stance on this. They said multi-chain security simply cannot tolerate bureaucratic disclosure delays anymore.
I mean, when you have a critical bug discovered on August 20th and then active exploitation across six chains from the 21st to the 25th, that window is fatal.
It's way too slow.
So they're arguing that real-time circuit breakers and like automated hot patch deployments are becoming mandatory now, regardless of ideological purity.
Yeah, because the reality is that attackers move at the speed of code execution while decentralized governance moves at the speed of human debate.
Man, it's just terrifying how fast a digital ecosystem can be compromised. But, you know, we don't even need to look at complex multi-chain architectures to see this kind of fragility.
No, we don't.
Because the exact same software supply chain vulnerabilities exist in the web browser you probably have open right now.
Right, the socket security disclosure, which is honestly a masterclass in just how sophisticated and patient software supply chain attacks have become over the last few years.
Absolutely. Socket security unmasked a campaign of 19 malicious extensions, 18 on Google Chrome and one on Microsoft Edge.
Yeah.
And these weren't obvious malware flashing red warning signs everywhere. Mm. They were disguised as legitimate productivity utilities, tab managers, and online translators.
Just the kind of tools you install without a second thought to make your workday easier. Right.
Exactly. And their ultimate goal was to intercept private keys, clipboard data, and mnemonic seed phrases from Web3 wallets like MetaMask and Phantom.
But the evasion technique is the critical piece here. Lead researcher Carla Zanke detailed how these extensions actually bypassed the automated web store security scans.
How did they do that?
Using delayed payload execution.
Man, it's like someone getting a job at a bank, being a model employee for a solid month, learning all the routines, and then suddenly waiting for an external activation signal to just empty the vault.
That is a very accurate comparison, honestly. The extensions remained completely dormant for weeks after the initial installation.
Wow.
The code that Google and Microsoft security teams scanned looked perfectly clean. It genuinely functioned as a normal tab manager.
So what triggered it?
Eventually, the extensions pulled obfuscated JavaScript payloads from external command and control servers.
Okay, so what do those obfuscated scripts actually do once they're inside the browser?
They inject malicious DOM listeners across decentralized finance interfaces.
DOM listeners. So basically acting like digital wiretaps on the web page itself.
Exactly like wiretaps. They monitor the document object model, which is the structure of the web page. So the exact moment you type in your wallet password or expose a seed phrase on screen, the listener captures it.
And before you even realize what happened, they silently siphon your funds to attacker-controlled addresses.
Yep.
Protecting yourself against a sleeper agent in your browser feels basically impossible. The code changes after you install it.
It is difficult. Socket Security issued some blunt recommendations. First, obviously, an immediate audit and removal of unverified third-party tools.
Right.
But the structural fix requires a real change in user behavior. We have to stop granting browser extensions default read and change all data on all websites' privileges.
Which everyone just clicks accept on.
Exactly. Giving a simple screenshot utility permission to read everything you do online is an unacceptable risk. It really should be limited to specific whitelisted URLs.
And for anyone handling cryptocurrency, they highly emphasize hardware-enforced signing.
Oh, absolutely.
Routing transactions through a dedicated hardware device, like a ledger or a Trezor, where you have to physically look at a separate screen and push a physical button to confirm the transaction.
Yes.
Because you just cannot trust the browser's interface, since the browser itself might be compromised.
The modern web browser is a fundamentally hostile environment. But losing digital assets, as painful as it is ultimately a financial loss, right?
Yeah, usually.
But applying that same porous software supply chain to our permanent physical identities has far more severe consequences.
Yeah, this one is really heavy. McKesson, which is this massive global pharmaceutical distribution and healthcare technology giant, disclosed a catastrophic cybersecurity incident.
It was huge.
The breach occurred through unauthorized access to third-party enterprise applications. And within hours, the extortion syndicate Shiny Hunters claimed responsibility and the scale of what they exfiltrated.
284 million confidential patient records.
Just staggering. We are talking about national identification numbers, detailed prescription histories, health insurance identifiers, and comprehensive billing records.
Yeah.
This is one of the largest single healthcare data breaches in modern history.
It really is. And security analysts at Bleeping Computer highlighted the cascading long-term risks here.
Right.
When this specific type of data is compromised, we aren't just talking about, you know, standard credit card fraud. We are looking at highly targeted medical identity theft.
Right, because attackers can use this information to fraudulently fulfill prescriptions or submit massive false insurance claims.
Or execute incredibly sophisticated spear phishing campaigns.
Right, because if an attacker emails you and they already know the exact medication you take, the name of your doctor, and your last billing date, I mean, you are going to click the link.
Oh, absolutely. You'd trust it completely.
So what does this all mean? When a password leaks, you reset it, you get a new credit card number in the mail. But when your entire medical and prescription history is sitting on a dark web forum, you can't just reset your health data.
No, you can.
You can't change your medical history. How does society even begin to recover from a privacy violation of this magnitude?
Well, this raises an important question about the asymmetry of consequence, really.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the Cyber Threat Intelligence Group at Bleeping Computer pointed out that corporate financial liabilities like regulatory fines, class action settlements, even temporary stock dips, they are fleeting for a giant like McKesson.
Just the cost of doing business.
Exactly. But the fundamental privacy and trust of hundreds of millions of citizens is permanently violated. We are building digital infrastructure that holds our most intimate physical secrets, but we are securing it with enterprise third-party software supply chains that have just repeatedly proven to be porous.
It is a grim reality. We are trusting our physical lives to digital systems that are under constant evolving attack. Honestly, with all this massive AI scaling, gigalock clusters, quantum threats, and hundreds of millions of stolen identities, sometimes you just need to experience the beautiful simulated worlds that this technology can create.
I agree.
We really need some escapism today.
Yeah. After reviewing this dossier, a pivot to the Gamescom 2026 reports is highly recommended.
Yes. The international gaming stage in Cologne definitely delivered some much needed joy.
It really did.
Let's start with strategy. Studio Creative Assembly gave select journalists, including Eurogamer, exclusive hands-on access to an early build of Total War, Warhammer 40,000.
And that is a massive mechanical undertaking for that franchise.
Oh, huge.
Moving from the historical or fantasy formations they are known for into the grimdark sci-fi universe of 40K, it requires an entirely new tactical engine.
But the initial critical appraisals are just glowing. They praised the studio for seamlessly marrying large-scale mechanized warfare, orbital bombardment, and cover-based squad tactics.
Wow.
Yeah. They somehow managed to modernize the combat without losing that hallmark strategic depth of a classic Total War game.
That's great to hear. But, you know, the strategy genre wasn't the only highlight. The Gamescom 2026 awards ceremony had a really fascinating upset in the hardware showcase category.
This is hands down my favorite part of the dossier. Ubisoft Montpellier's Rayman Legends Retold captured the award for Best Nintendo Switch 2 Game.
A platformer.
It beat out absolute franchise giants, including Capcom's Mega Man, Dual Override, and Nintendo's own Switch Sports Resort.
Which is really a testament to art direction leveraging new hardware effectively.
Yeah.
The Switch 2 profile for Rayman Legends Retold boasts remastered native 4K visuals when it's in docked mode, alongside completely re-engineered musical levels and incredibly fluid, high frame rate animations.
It sounds beautiful.
It is. Mega Man was pushing 120 frames per second for handheld fluidity, which, you know, technically impressive, but Rayman still took the crown.
I just love the sheer enthusiasm for the fact that a beautifully crafted platformer like Rayman can clinch the top hardware showcase award against massive, technically demanding games.
Right.
It proves that raw compute power, like those gigawatt NVIDIA clusters we started the show with, is incredible. But human artistry and brilliant game design still win the day.
Yeah, it's a perfect synthesis of hardware capability and creative execution.
We've covered massive ground today. How do we sum up the Tekken Game evening synthesis from this dossier?
Well, the editorial board at Tekken Game framed the August 30th landscape perfectly. They said it basically encapsulates the dual nature of our rapidly advancing digital civilization.
Okay, how so?
We have Starkware proving that post-quantum mathematics can safeguard foundational decentralized assets without tearing them down, right? Mm-hmm. And creative studios pushing boundaries at Gamescom.
Right. The good stuff.
But the Cosmos EVM exploit and the McKesson healthcare breach serve as stark, undeniable reminders that our cybersecurity hygiene really must match the velocity of our silicon scaling.
Yeah, it has to.
Today proves an immutable computing truth. Exponential infrastructure scaling without rigorous vulnerability auditing just creates massive systemic fragility.
Absolutely.
Moving forward into the next decade, mathematical defenses like those zero-knowledge proofs and transparent real-time security governance are the ultimate imperatives.
We are definitely building the future faster than we can secure it.
Which leaves you with a final thought to ponder tonight. As NVIDIA's next-generation Vera Rubin AI clusters scale up, mobilizing literally gigawatts of power to manage our infrastructure, write our code, and optimize our networks.
Will the next massive zero-day vulnerability in our systems be discovered by a human hacker in a basement? Or will it be entirely synthesized, obfuscated, and exploited in milliseconds by an autonomous AI agent?
That is a chilling but entirely necessary question.
If you want to dive deeper into these reports, and you absolutely should, you need to head over to tekengame.com right now. You can access the exclusive print and archive editions of today's briefing, their definitive August 2026 video games roundup, and something we didn't even have time to cover, a highly anticipated technical investigation into a leaked, highly controversial build of NVIDIA's DLSS5 neural filter. Seriously, go check it out. Stay curious, stay secure, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.